Hi, my name is Josh Phillips, and I'm a program manager on the Parallel Computing Platform and the Parallel Extensions, and today Steve Tobe is with me.
Thanks, Josh. I'm Stephen Tobe. I'm also a program manager on the Parallel Computing Platform team here at Microsoft.
And today we're going to talk about Countdown Event, which is a neat synchronization primitive that we've added to .NET 4. And I'm going to talk a little bit about where you would use a Countdown Event, and Steve is going to code up some samples. So many times in parallel computing, you use what we call fork join parallelism, where you have some parent thread which will then spin up multiple child tasks to do some work, and that parent thread will wait until all of those child tasks have completed before moving on. This is the tricky part here, is we don't want the parent thread to move on until all of the child tasks are done and have signaled. So typically how we do that today using .NET 3.5 is we use an event that we then use an interlock decrement to count, or an increment to count when all of the tasks have completed. But with .NET 4, we have Countdown Event, which makes the whole effort much simpler.
So what we'll do here is we'll have a collection of strings. And the idea is we're going to do some processing on each of these strings and output the results. So I'm going to have some method down here, static string, takes in some input. And the processing that I do is going to be very simplistic in this case. It'll just be to uppercase the string, but you can imagine this being something more complicated. And so if we had a sequential processing of this, it might look something like iterating over every element in this array and doing console.WriteLine on processing of the current element, and then we're done at the end of this.
Right.
Now, if I wanted to parallelize that, there are new parallel.for and for each constructs, but in the .NET Framework 4. But for now, I'm not going to use those. We're going to focus on Countdown Event, specifically because there's a slew of existing and new asynchronous paradigms and asynchronous constructs, and you want to be able to coordinate access with those constructs. So here, I'll just use the thread pool to spin up this work. So what I'll do here is for each of these, I'll use the thread pool to launch a new work item. Now, I have two problems. One problem is that due to the way the C# closures work, this code isn't doing exactly what I expected it to be doing. Here, when I reference I, I'm actually referencing an I that's been shared for all of the work items that I've queued up, rather than one specific to this element. So what I'll actually do is I'll grab the string here. I'll say the string for this current element is data_sub_i. And then I'll use that string and do again to the closure semantics. This will actually do what I expect. And so if I run this, and also I'll just put in the console.readline here, we should see that all of these values get output. And of course, calling two upper on an integer doesn't do a whole lot of good, but you get the basic idea. Now, if I didn't have this console.readline, unfortunately, I run into this occurrence that you referred to where this parent task or this parent operation has spawned a bunch of sub-operations, but it never waited for them to complete. And because the thread pool is working on background threads, that work may never complete, and this main thread will just exit because these were just in process. Or while these were in process. So what I actually need to do is use a countdown event to coordinate interaction with those individual work items. I can do that by creating a new countdown event here. And I want to initialize the countdown event to represent the number of items that I'll be waiting for. In this case, I'm going to be waiting for data.length elements, or items, in this case, 5. Then for each element, I want to tell this countdown event that this particular work item is done. And if there was any chance that this process may throw an exception, I would want to wrap this in a try catch or in a try with a finally to ensure that the signal arrived. And then instead of a console read line here, I can use ce.wait. And this will wait until all the elements have completed. And just to demonstrate that, I can put in a sleep here to show that this is actually waiting. We can see the application is still up, and it's only once that last element arrived, we can see that again, only once the last element arrived does the application actually exit.
So one of the things that you noticed here is that Steve actually had to know how many elements that he was going to process in advance. You can see data.length. There are some scenarios where you actually don't know how many elements you want, and you want to spin up one element per item regardless. This might be an enumerable. So we've added support to Countdown Event for dynamic participation in the event. So you'll see here, he'll change the for loop to a for each, which we don't know the length of course. And then inside, to signal that he's actually joining into the countdown event, he'll use an API called addCount. And for each add count, he'll continue to have a signal that shows when it was done. Now, one of the things that you'll notice here is there's a bit of a race condition. If the first element actually adds the count and then signals it before the second thread was able to actually add a different count, we'll get down to zero, and the parent thread will actually be woken up. So what we do is we actually initialize the countdown event to one. This is very important. And this says, hey, don't actually wake up until I'm done adding all of my participants. And so he'll do that here. He'll signal that he's done adding all of his participants with an extra signal. And so there you have it. There's a fork join parallelism in the .NET 4 countdown event to help you wait, and both for static and dynamic scenarios. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Josh.